You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
All right, we wrap with Royce every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday on Mackie and Judd. You can also find our show on the Score North YouTube channel. Click that subscribe button, and we will give you daily Minnesota sports fodder and entertainment. Pat, Joe Ryan set to make his Twins debut. He's probably the best young arm they now have. What do you think? What do you think of him? Is he going to be the savior of this rotation now going forward? Are they going to screw him up like they have all these other young pitchers? What do you think of him?
I don't know. I think I'm going to go down and watch tonight, though, and check him out. I know Declan's a big fan after watching him over in St. Paul one night. At this point, they've only been running him out there for about five, right? Five and a third, something like that. But he's throwing strikes. He's not a real hard thrower, right? 92, 93, but I'm interested to watch him because he doesn't walk people. And that would give you two right-handers who don't walk people, right? Because Ober doesn't walk people either. So it might be a start. I don't want to say he came out of nowhere, but when you look up his stats, this is the first year that he's ever was dazzling. And then he ended up going to the Olympics, which was kind of a weird, it's kind of funny that he was allowed to go to the Olympics by he'd already been cleared to be on the Olympic team by Tampa when the trade was made. The way they shuffle pitchers back and forth, I'm surprised they let them have him because he probably would have been up and down five times with Tampa by now too. So, but yeah, I'm interested to see him. I don't know. He's not he's not one of the top prospects in baseball, but he throws fairly hard. You must have a good breaking ball and throw strikes. I'm in favor of strike throwers.
Have you seen, Patrick, the Rays? I think they've won nine consecutive, and they're still drawing like 8,000 people. This is one of the most incredible stories in pro sports.
Last night, I believe, who was there? Somebody good. Who was there? Boston, right?
Yes.
Boston's there.
Yes, Boston's in town. Yeah.
6,700.
Yeah.
6,700. I don't know. What do you do? How do you stay there? You almost have to, you can't declare bankruptcy because of all the money you get from baseball, and I think their regional TV deal is okay, but this is the worst it's ever been.
Yes.
I told you they had four games with Baltimore. I know Baltimore is terrible, but you go to, it's guaranteed win night. None of them drew 6,000. None of them drew 6,000.
They should advertise it as guaranteed win night.
Yes, it should with Baltimore. Well, now they've won two in a row since then, but the other night they were 34 over, and 17 of that, half, was Baltimore. They ended up 18-1 against the O's this year. They lost one game the first series of the year. They swept them the next five series. The Orioles, I believe, now have been swept in 17 series or something like that this season, which is very difficult to do. But it's almost like people are offended to have them. I don't understand it. What the deal is that they? I know the stadium isn't much, and you got to get over the bridge. Blah blah blah. They love the Bucks, the Super Bowl champs, and they love the Lightning, the two-time Stanley Cup champs, and the hell with this team. It is incredible. They ought to announce. They might as well just announce they're leaving, right? As soon as their lease is up, we've made a deal to go to such and such.
Pat, hey, on the Twins, I believe it was in Suhan's column the other day. Baldelli used the word rebuild. He just kind of floated the word rebuild.
Well, he kind of emphasized it. He mentioned it two, three times. Yes,
but isn't that? I mean, if you think back to where this team was at 2019, I know the ball was juiced, but the ball was juiced for everybody. This was the greatest home run hitting team in baseball history, and all of those guys except for Nelson Cruz were in their prime. And now 2 years later, it's a disaster season, and we're talking about rebuild.
Phil, you don't have to go back to 19. You can go back to March. They were strutting around down there like they had this machine that was they were numbers. They were seventh in baseball in win projection in Vegas. And I thought that was people thought that was a little low here, right?
Yeah.
This was you know, crazed optimism with a management team that really thought they had it figured out. And now they're telling us they're rebuilding. So it's more dramatic than what occurred in 2011, which was pretty dramatic, you know. But that I think they tried to fool us for a couple of years there that they weren't rebuilding completely there with the Twins. But this is hell. 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, when they were, or even August 1st, it was, we think we're going to turn around and be pretty dang good next year, you know, and we're not giving up. And all of a sudden, Rocco is saying, okay, settle in, folks. 3-4 years. Rebuild is not, see you again next year. Rebuild is with this. I think Sue Ann made a good point. The rebuilds here have been lengthy, right? The 93 one took until 2000 and to put a decent team on the field, 2001 to put a decent team on the field. And this, the last one, I don't think 15 kind of popped up there and they went over 500, but this was a 6 year cluster, right? This
yes. time
from 11 through 16. So the last two rebuilds have been 8 and 6 years. So that place is going to be lonely for a while if your goal when the season starts is to lose 92, you know.
I think he's trying to buy himself time now. I think Rocco looked at things and thought to himself, if I continue to say that it's going to be fine, I'm the first guy to go. I think he might have said, I think I need to, you know, pump the brakes a little bit so that people know that it's going to take some time and please don't fire me.
We don't have a good enough read yet on Falvey and Levine to tell you whether Rocco would be in any trouble or not. I would be surprised, but then I couldn't believe they fired Molitor out of nowhere either. So but that was easy to explain in retrospect because they wanted a guy who was in on all their philosophies and Phil was kind of Paul was the crusty old timer and was put in that category, but I think they would really look silly if they fired Rocco, don't you?
Right now, yes, but I think when he comes out and talks about a rebuild, I think he's talking about, hey, we might not win in 22, and 23 might be rough too. I think he's just trying to buy himself time. Hey, Patrick, here's the one thing I don't get. So the team's disappointing. They're not good. I get all of that. How have they gone back to being so bad fundamentally, though? They don't run the bases well. They don't field well. I mean, across the board, it's as if they do everything that they prided themselves on doing well poorly now.
Well, the fielding has been a surprise to them. One reason being Andrelton, as great shortstop as he is, when he's very creative. But he has not been consistent at all at shortstop, and Donaldson hasn't played third. Mm-hmm. And you've had left fielders who, you know, are all Rooker's life's in danger. Louis Arraez is not a left fielder, and you didn't have your center fielder. That's part of the reason but the fielding has been, and Sano's a hack at first base. He's once in a while makes a decent play, and Morney tells us how great and how much progress he's made, and then they hit one through his legs. So, but Kepler's an okay right fielder, but the players they have playing in the field aren't as good as they thought they were going to have, and some of them aren't the same players too. So
that's the biggest thing. I mean, if you go, let's go back 2 years ago. 2019, okay, they came up short in the playoffs, definitely a buzzkill, but look at this window. Kepler finally broke out, and Sano broke out, and those were, in Buxton, mostly injury-related, but those were the three guys that were supposed to carry this thing, and maybe Polanco, for like 5 or 6 years. And I could see a scenario where Sano is traded, Kepler is sold off for 50 cents on the dollar somewhere. I think they're going to make another offer to Buxton, but it's amazing how quickly the core that was they were all emerging into their primes. They all had breakout seasons, and now we're talking about some or all of them just being gone in 2022.
Kepler is the amazing one to me. That I mean, he got MVP votes in 2019, and he's an athlete. You know, you look at him and you say, this guy's an athlete. This guy's got the perfect frame for baseball. He's got the good swing. And he had about a 2-week run when people were really on him and he didn't get traded. And he had a couple of weeks where he got a couple of hits off lefties and stuff. But the amount of damage he's done this year has been absolutely minimal. Yeah. He's to me, he's a bigger surprise than Sano. It's easy to explain. He's, you know, he's too big, and B, he's empty-headed. He's just, as a hitter, he's empty-headed. He, you know, now we're again talking about how he's using right field and all those things. And, you know, every time he has a week where he gets three or four hits to right field, he's got it figured out and blah, blah, blah. If somebody wanted to take him off my hands, I'd still make the trade. But I wouldn't give him away as much as I you know what has happened the last month? You don't have to give him away, is what I'm saying. You know, I think he's been acceptable enough that you don't have to give him away. I think because in the middle of July at the All-Star break, I would have said, put him on waivers and somebody claims him, say hallelujah. So that's his level of improvement to me. He's gone from a, you know, Terry Ryan used to have the eight, you know, they used to judge the guys 2 through 8 because nobody was in each category. That was their, I don't know why that was the system, but I would say he was a 3. He was a 3 most of this season on that scale. And 3 is, don't sign the guy. And I'd have him at 5 now, which is marginal prospect, you know. So anyway, you're right, though. The nucleus did not. Polanco is the only one who's played. And he's, you know, he's got the bad back now, too. He keeps getting himself hurt in various ways. How about Arraez, who, by the way, looked like one of the best hitters in the league, and then the last week he can't get a hit. I guess that's just baseball, but I'm surprised. I always looked at him as a kind of a model of consistency as a hitter, and now he hasn't done anything for a week. So.
Did Tony Diaz send him from third last night on that ball?
No, that sounded. What I read in the newspapers this morning was no, that it was Louis thinking that he could. Trying to make something happen.
Oh, good God. You're down 2 runs. That's the type of stuff I'm talking about. And that's the problem with Rocco. Nothing ever happens if you screw up. It's always like, you tried hard. Thanks.
Well,
or you didn't try hard.
That's the public. That's still the public perception, too. We don't know what happened.
Rosario got away with murder, and I asked him about it once, and he said, I don't believe in disciplining guys.
That was part of Eddie's mystique. That he got away with murder.
But that sets the tone. The mystique sets the tone for the rest of the team to be like,
he got away with murder with all of them because they knew it did him no good to tell him to not, you know, to just keep running when he should have stopped. By the way, Eddie finally getting a chance to play in Atlanta when he first got sent over there.
Yeah.
He was hurt.
He was hurt. And then Soler and, they got 2 other outfielders, and they both started hitting like crazy. Eddie couldn't get in the lineup.
Another thing that's happening right now while we have this discussion. So last night, a bunch of Ben Simmons reports came out that he's demanding a trade. Now it's official he's demanding a trade. And Shams and Johnny Kay and a couple others have the Timberwolves as like one of the 2 or 3 teams that are in the mix.
Who are you going to give them? Who are they going to take?
Well, hold on. So Joel... There's another report this morning that the Sixers reportedly had to pick between Embiid and Simmons, which we all kind of figured. The Simmons-Embiid rift had been escalating, according to USA Today. And then Embiid has jumped in to argue with reporters on Twitter this morning, saying, I love Ben Simmons. I love playing with him. It's on all of us. We didn't get the job done together as a team. So this must be part of the PR effort to keep Simmons' value high.
choosing between Embiid and Ben Simmons would require me. The only things that come to mind are extremely sexist that I would not like to say in this society.
Good restraints by you.
That is not a tough decision to make, okay? That is not a tough decision. Who are you going to give them from here?
Well, that's the thing. But who are they going to get?
Who can't shoot?
Well, first of all, the Wolves have a ton of guys who can shoot.
Yes.
And so, Ben, what they don't have are people that can play defense and prevent the other team from scoring 140 points.
Well, they don't.
And Ben Simmons is really good at that.
They don't want no D'Lo, for God's sake. They don't want Malik Beasley. Who are you going to give them?
But that's the standoff, is that they have to trade him at some point because this has just become an unworkable situation.
But all of
the teams that they want, so they want Dame Lillard. Well, the Blazers aren't going to trade Dame Lillard for Simmons right now. So the hope is that for the Wolves, that the Sixers are just in a pretty much a similar spot that the Wolves were with Jimmy Butler, where they're going to have to trade him for 50 cents on the dollar.
Russell, and you got to, if you get,
you might not need to trade him, Russell. You might not need to. They might just have to dump him at some point.
Well, I don't want him.
You're just out.
If my 11-year-old grandson was not a hockey player, he could beat him in horse.
Come on, Pat.
Guy's an embarrassment to basketball when he shoots.
And, the reckless speculation train has left the station, and it's flying down the tracks.
Listen, wants him.
He just needs to play defense. I don't need him to shoot. Just play defense. And
your
pass and rebound.
If they can get a third team in, I think this could actually happen now. Hey, Patrick, I got one for you. There's nothing more fun in this town than when Rick Spielman gets cute with roster cuts. Right now, after they cut down, and this is not done, obviously, to 53 yesterday, they have no long snapper.
Yes.
So like Rick saw a guy, I got to protect him. I can't let him go. What are we going to do? I'm going to let the long snapper go for now. This is the type of thing that bites him in the ass.
But, I mean, like this Jalen Holmes or whatever his name is, they don't want to put him on waivers. Well, to get him to the practice squad, you still have to put him on waivers, right, eventually?
Correct.
When you bring Griffin back. So what you're hoping that every other team gets full and then they don't want this guy anymore.
That's the
pretty
cute.
Much, yeah.
That's the cute move.
Yeah,
so, they still have nightmares over losing Tyler Thigpen in 2007. They don't want that to happen.
He's never been cuter than he was this time, though. He's extremely. Who else? Another veteran he's cute with. He got cute with
Amir Abdullah, the running back.
Abdullah, the running back. Yeah,
he cut him too, but I think he's going to try and bring him back.
Would you rather have no long snapper or no kickers? Dan Campbell cut both of his veteran kickers that were competing for the job yesterday.
Oh, I bet he thinks he's a genius, too. Lions.
Dan Campbell.
Do you know the columnists in Detroit, how blessed they must feel to have Dan Campbell?
I don't know. The Lions have been a blessing. I've been jealous of those guys for 50 years with the
Dan
Lions.
Dan Campbell, though, man. He's cut his kickers. He's
another moron. You know, they always, you know. They hired the most boring guy in history, Jim Caldwell. So now they say let's hire the number one fruitcake in football. It's just unbelievable. I think is Bill Ford's widow still alive?
Yeah,
she's still alive. Yep. She's still the team pride. I'm sure she doesn't make decisions.
No,
but it's still the
but
family.
She's still there.
I think she's still listed as the team president, isn't she?
I think you're right.
Yeah,
and she brought in, was it last year now, Chris Spielman. Rick's brother.
Yes, he's an advisor, right?
He has a big advisory role with the Lions. That's going to turn him around.
Still, one of my five favorite moments in sports coverage was when the guy had the little sign that said "Fire Millen," and Millen saw it and told him to get it, you know, get that sign away from this guy because they showed it on TV. And they chased him all over the stadium, and they were for this guy with this little sign. They turned it into this huge 20-minute thing where the whole crowd was cheering for the guy with the sign to stay away from the Lions while they were getting their ass kicked by the Vikings. God, they're just clowns. I don't know what it is. I don't know what has allowed them to be such idiots, but they've been idiots. And, you know, I mean, they're, as I always say, all you got to know is Chili and Tice, both of whom we don't remember fondly here, 16-1 against the Lions.
Yeah.
16-1 against the Lions.
Wow. I don't know. I think Dan Campbell's the ticket. He's going to turn this thing around. Yeah. 50 years of misery. Maybe more than that.
And you know who's really happy? Matthew Stafford. That he doesn't have to be with a bad team with an insane coach anymore. After all those years, he was just with a bad team. Now he's got an insane coach.
Yeah, probably hasn't stopped smiling since the trade. All right, we got to jump, Pat. We'll talk to you on Friday.
All right, gents. We'll be kicking around the Gophers' stunning upset by then.
Yes, we will. All right.
All right.
Throw the boat, Skyima, go Gophers, as Pat always says. See you guys.
This holiday, whether you're making a Baker's Simple Truth turkey for 40 or a Murray's Baked Brie for two, Baker's has fast, fresh delivery and free pickup, so you can make holiday meals that bring you all together to create memories that last. Baker's, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.